Macintosh Folklore Radio, written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. Font Manager Redux, March 1985. Innovation often requires discarding finished work when better solutions come along. Each new improvement may impact prior work, so you must be willing to retool older parts of a design to better integrate with the new parts. The Macintosh's Font Manager, for example, was rewritten a few times as the system evolved. The font manager's main job was to load fonts into memory for QuickDraw, given a font family, a size, and a style. This allowed QuickDraw to measure and draw text without having to worry about system-dependent details like how to load fonts from the file system. In the spring of 1982, our user interface software started to take shape. We provided application developers with a way to load fonts from disk and cache them in memory, allowing the use of a variety of fonts. I knew we would be loading hunks of code called drivers in a similar fashion, so Larry Kenyon and I collaborated on a general way to load and cache objects from disk. This became the Object Manager. Bill Atkinson had recently given QuickDraw the ability to scale bitmaps, including text. We leveraged this feature in the Font Manager with heuristics to find the font that best satisfied a given request if a perfect match wasn't available. If we didn't have a font at the requested size, we could make one by scaling an existing font. But scaled text looked kind of lumpy, so we allowed applications to choose if they wanted this feature or not. Meanwhile, Bruce Horn was busy implementing the Resource Manager. I should have realized it sooner, but by the fall of 1982, it was becoming obvious that there would be lots of benefits if fonts and drivers became resources. We could save space by discarding our Object Manager code and simplify the system by eliminating lots of separate files. Applications could even transparently contain their own fonts if they wanted to. I rewrote the Font Manager around the concept of resources, starting with a simple scheme to encode the font family and size into a resource ID. Resource IDs were 16 bits long, with the high bit reserved, so the new Font Manager could support a universe of 128 font families in 128 different sizes, which seemed like plenty at the time. We added a number of refinements to the Font Manager in 1983, like a function that made it easy to build the font menu. The basic design didn't change very much, and that's what we ended up shipping in January 1984. The software team was exhausted from the final push, and not all that much development happened during 1984. As some of the old-timers, like myself, left the company, I went on leave of absence in March of 1984, new hires like Bert Sloan and Ernie Biernick got up to speed. I certainly didn't think that I would be working on the Font Manager anymore. In early 1985, Jerome Coonan was revving up the software team to do a 128 kilobyte version of the Macintosh ROM. The plan was to incorporate bug fixes, some newer subsystems like AppleTalk, and a better hierarchical file system in time for shipping with the Macintosh Plus in January 1986. There was so much extra space available that a ROM-based resource file was included for system resources, which speeded up boot time and saved memory. Jerome solicited my suggestions for improvements, and I responded with a long list. Amongst other things, I suggested a major overhaul of the Font Manager. The LaserWriter, with its superb PostScript imaging system, had complicated the font situation on the Macintosh. There were different subsystems for screen and printer output, and the limitations of the Font Manager made it hard to get things right. We needed to support fractional pixel widths so the screen could better match printed output, and provide a better scheme for font resources that wasn't limited to 128 fonts. Much to my disappointment, the team decided against implementing my Font Manager suggestions because development time was growing short and it seemed like too much work. Even though I was no longer an Apple employee, I was still in close touch with the company. Burl Smith was my best friend and next-door neighbor. We had purchased two houses on the same lot in Palo Alto in April 1983. Bud Tribble had finished medical school and returned to his previous role of software manager in August 1984. He was living in a spare room at Burl's house, so I saw him frequently as well. And every once in a while, Steve Jobs would show up at my doorstep for an impromptu visit on a weekend afternoon. On one such visit in early 1985, Steve asked me what I thought of the 128K ROM effort. I complained that it wasn't ambitious enough, and when he asked me for an example, naturally I mentioned the font manager changes. I wasn't expecting his response. If you think that's so important, why don't you go ahead and do it yourself? There would be time to get it done if you pitched in. Maybe we could give you a few Macs in exchange for doing it. I told him I would think about it. Bud Tribble came by the next day to discuss things with me, and I agreed to develop a new font manager for the 128K ROM. My payment would be in the form of 3 512K Macintoshes, which I had shipped directly to my brothers and sisters as gifts. My deadline for the new code was in just 1 month. Pretty soon, I had the new font manager working. It used a new resource type called fond to describe all the properties of a font family, including the resource IDs of the font bitmaps. Now we could support tens of thousands of font families instead of a mere 128. I also built fractional width support, but I needed some changes to be made in QuickDraw before applications would see any benefit. When I spoke with Bill Atkinson about the changes I needed, I was surprised to find that he was reluctant to make them. In fact, even though we had identified a number of bugs in QuickDraw, Bill didn't want to change it at all, arguing that any sort of change would break existing applications. Finally, at a coordination meeting, Bud, Steve Capps, and I all ganged up on Bill. We told him that if he didn't want to maintain QuickDraw, he would have to let one of us take over. Bill said he would think about it overnight, and we agreed to meet again the next afternoon. We were all surprised when Bill showed up at Apple the next day, excitedly demonstrating QuickDraw, drawing ovals almost twice as fast as it used to. When Bill started looking at the QuickDraw code the night before, he became excited about working on QuickDraw again and began fixing some of the bugs we identified. One thing led to another, and he soon found a half dozen other improvements he could make. I was happy to see Bill excited about QuickDraw again, but I was a little worried that he had swung too far in the opposite direction. At this point, there was only about a week left before code freeze, but it seemed like the font manager was just about finished. Bill implemented font measuring with fractional widths, and it seemed to work well. But the evening before the code freeze, I received a phone call from Bill. "Hey Andy, I've got some great news. I can speed up text drawing by more than 40%. But I need a little help from the font manager." Bill had realized that because most text was lowercase, characters only used around half of the total height of the strike bitmap. Only a few characters had descenders, and most didn't go all the way to the top, either. QuickDraw could just skip the blank parts in each character, which saved lots of time. It would have been inefficient to have QuickDraw measure the tops and bottoms of each character as it was drawn. But this was a perfect job for the font manager, which would only have to examine each character set once, calculate an offset and a length, and tell QuickDraw where to start and stop the drawing. Bill supplied the format of the table that he wanted the font manager to prepare and asked me if I thought I could do it. It was crazy to attempt something like this with the code freeze scheduled in less than 16 hours, but it was such a cool idea that I told Bill I would give it a try. I went out for dinner, bought 2 6-packs of Diet Coke, and started writing the font measuring code around 10 o'clock that evening. I created an efficient way to do the measuring, iterating through the strike bitmap a long word at a time. 8 Diet Cokes later, I thought I had it working, just when the sun began to rise. I even had enough time to sleep for a few hours before meeting Bill at Apple. We crossed our fingers when we tried it out, and luckily, both of our parts worked the first time. Bill's tests showed that we achieved the projected 40% speedup. We didn't really have to rush like we did, since the code freeze ended up slipping for other reasons, but the urgency made it a little bit more fun, I guess.